Welcome to the Coaching DNA Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Wyckoff. I'm also the founder of Kingdom Coaching, my coaching business. This week is part two of my conversation with Mallory Matthews. Mallory is the head volleyball coach at East Texas Baptist University. During part two, Mallory and I discussed the values of her program, her review and reflection process, navigating work and family, and much, much more. Mallory is really relational, smart, and a really, really good leader. So without further ado, the second part of my conversation with Mallory Matthews. August comes around, your freshmen come on campus, your returners come back to campus, you obviously just have a new team that you're starting with. Walk me through, by the way, volleyball feels really hard because it's like you guys get on campus, the freshmen weren't here in the spring when you guys were working out. So you get your new team and literally it feels like, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 days later, you're starting your season playing games. How do you build the culture that you want? What are the things that you do in, you know, first day of practice when they show up? Yeah, walk us through how you're trying to build culture.
Right. So I would say even before first day of practice, talking with your upperclassmen of what we want this to look like. We finished our spring out yesterday, our spring season, and our finishing conversation was, okay, like talking about all of next season, what we want, what they want out of season, and then talking about what that looks like on first day. We actually talked about that and what they need to model on first day, and just talking to them about if you do these things that we love in our program. So if you're loud, if you're hustling, if we don't let balls hit the floor, then they're going to automatically do that. They're going to just catch on. They're not going to walk when we shag balls. They're going to run because you're running. I think a lot of times freshmen are going to follow along with the majority. And so if we can hold ourselves to those standards, they are probably going to do so as well. So I think the biggest thing is the foundation coming from your upperclassmen for sure. I think as a coach, you can instill a lot, but if your players can do it and they believe in it, the other ones, the freshmen, are going to follow along as well. But first day, it's a lot of talking. They get to hear my voice a lot. Just kind of talking to them about what our standards are, what our rules are. We do go, we have a team meeting before we start anything, of just after they get their gear and all of the things. And we talk about what our standard is, and we talk about goals on the first day. And then continuing to talk about those goals throughout season is really important. I think at the beginning of the year, first day of practice, first week of practice, it's really important just because, you know, it does get hard. First couple of practices are hard. You haven't been on a court that much in a long time. And so just making sure to consistently reiterate everything. So I think a lot of things have to do with just talking about things, talking through things, and making sure that you are clear on everything that's expected of them. And so, and then also just the discipline side of things. You know, we don't let balls hit the floor in our gym. We might look silly sometimes, but my kids, they're diving out for a ball that might be 40 feet from them. But we don't let balls hit the floor without our bodies hitting the floor in our gym. And so, and just making sure that we're holding them to that standard from the first day of practice is really important, but talking about it beforehand for sure.
So what are how do you articulate your standards? What are they?
Yeah, so we've got like five pillars in our program, I guess you could say. I think that we last off season when I got here, after we finished our off season, we let our kids come up with a really big list of things of just who we wanted to be, what our standards were, and then we kind of put them into just different pillars. Our biggest one on there is being Christ-like. We want our kids to make sure that we have great sportsmanship. We want people to know that who we are and who we play for and what we stand for. I think that's really important. And so there's a lot of subcategories under all of our pillars, but that's our biggest one. Being disciplined is one. That's one of our biggest pillars in our program. holding each other accountable. Accountability is one. That's really important. Integrity and character. Those are really big for us. We always tell everybody, I even tell recruits when we're on the phone, that the biggest thing for us is the type of person that you are. We want good people on our team. We want people of high character, high integrity, people that are going to make great choices and be great teammates. It's a non-negotiable for me. If you're not a great teammate, you're not going to step on the floor. I think that's really important in sports in general, but especially in women's sports. And that's how you can create a great culture, if you can be great teammates, which I feel like is something we had this past year. And so wanting to make sure that the freshmen that we're bringing in, it's a great fit for them, but we also want it to be a great fit for us. So those are some things that are really important to our culture and to our program.
Yeah. What is, at the end of the year, you just strike me in the little that I've gotten to know you over the last 9 months. I think there's a intentionality that I've noticed with you. And specifically, I think you're a consistent reflector. You're consistently reflecting on what do we do? How do we do? What can we do better? What do we need to continue to do? What do you have, like a specific process with your reflection, or is it just kind of a natural, innate, organic, you're driving home and you're reflecting and when you exercise, when you run, you reflect. Do you have a process, or is it very organic? Are you just consistently doing it?
I think it's both. Organically, I think I'm thinking about it constantly. I think a lot of coaches do. But I always think about, say after a loss, you know, obviously your kids are the ones out there doing the work. But what could I have done better? Like what decisions could I have made? I'm a film watcher. I go back and watch a lot of film. You can ask my husband, we get home from the game and he's like, what are you watching? And I'm like, the game. And we had just got done playing it. And so, you know, that I think is more, like set up and not as organic, but then also just always thinking about it. I think as a staff, we definitely have set times that we kind of reflect and talk about, things that we could have done, things that we should be doing, things that we need to be doing that we were doing but aren't doing now. We've got a really great staff that wants, has the same goals in mind. And so I think that is a little more like systematic rather than organic. And so, but I think it's a little bit of both for sure. I like to work out. And I know I had mentioned before that I like to run and listen to podcasts, just try to always grow and be better, because I think that it's important. We go to convention every year. You know, we think that it's important to always be growing and changing. Sometimes the game is changing so much that I feel like I'm stuck in my ways, but I know that I need to grow too and grow along with the game. And so just making sure I'm always like checking in with myself, and then also asking my team. There's times that I ask them. I know that when we were in the middle of season and we kind of went through a little bit of a lull, we had a really great heart to heart. And I just asked them, like, what can I do better for you? Like, what can I do to help us be more successful? And if there's something specific, I want you to be honest and tell me, are we doing something you feel like is wrong? What could we be doing to help you better in a timeout? What could we be doing better in practice or preparing for games or in film? So there were things this year that we changed up. We used to do film all together, and then we changed it to where we did film in position groups. And so we were able to be more specific just about that position, and just trying to constantly change and adapt and figure out where the team is and what they need from us is really important.
Love that. I know you love your staff. So on a 30,000 foot view, what are you looking for in assistance? Let's say Allison gets a head job in a couple years and you are on the search for a new assistant. What are you looking for in assistants?
Well, first I would be really sad. I love Allison. I think she does a really great job. And so we just work really well together. So I think the biggest thing, you know, when Allison first came on staff with me at Laterno, we knew each other from a past of, she's a little younger than me, but we went to high school together. We played against each other in college. We coached against each other for a year before she came on staff. And so when she came on, it was honestly just kind of telling her how what our culture is and what we want it to be and what we want to continue it, and then making sure that like she has those same beliefs and kind of like we talk about with our team. I want a staff that's going to be high character. I want a staff that's going to be a positive staff, that's going to invest in our kids. I think one thing that we really balance each other on is I am very it's very black and white for me. There's no like gray area. And sometimes Allison pushes me to have the gray area and to give the benefit of the doubt a little bit sometimes. And so I think that we do a really good job of balancing each other. And so I think I would definitely want to look for someone that's going to challenge me. She's not afraid to challenge me. Obviously that grew with relationship and with time, but someone that's going to contribute in practice, contribute in planning, contribute just with our kids, the relationship side of things. Allison does a really great job on the relationship side of things. And so I also think there can be a great balance within staff. I know we had talked about how you balance like being coach, having relationships and all of that. And sometimes I think an assistant plays a really big role in that, just because they get to be a different kind of presence to your team. So looking for someone that could be able to balance that and have that relationship side with the kids as well, would be really important. And then ultimately someone that I feel like is going to be loyal, and always back me is really important, just because, I think in coaching, sometimes you want to be confident about a decision, and then a decision doesn't work out. And Allison's definitely the person that's behind me. Of she might not agree with my decision, but we go with it, and then she backs me at the end of it. So looking for someone that can be loyal and trustworthy through that as well, which I think also comes with time. So finding a new assistant would be tough, but definitely those things would be really important to me.
Yeah, for sure, that's good. Okay, pivot a little bit and talk about family. You've mentioned your husband, Tanner's the associate head baseball coach there at ETB. You've got two little boys. Maybe just talk to me on like, how do you navigate crazy job, busy job, consuming job at times, plus family, two kids consuming in its own right. Yeah. Maybe walk me through how you guys have structured, what your mindset, how do you navigate the tug of both of those?
So it is not easy all the time. Social media can be really deceiving. People are always like, how do you do it? You're getting your boys from here to there. We went to Alabama this year with the baseball team, and also in the midst of recruiting. This is a busy recruiting time for me, but we definitely could not do it without our family. Both of our parents moved here for us, and so would not be possible without our family, hands down. I just think that they play a huge role in that and picking the kids up or bringing them here. And then I think a big thing of it is grace. Tanner and I have to give each other a lot of grace when we're in season. We get each other's jobs, which is really good and bad sometimes, because I'm like, you don't need to be doing that right now at this second. But I do think that it's a good thing, because we understand, you know, when we're in season or if we have a ton of recruit phone calls at that time. And, you know, it's just a lot of give and take. There's seasons where he has to give a lot more than I do at the house and with the kids. And there's times that I have to give a lot more at the house and with the kids. And so just always balancing, always communicating. Tanner always jokes and he says that communication is the key to every relationship. And so just trying to communicate through all that, and then also supporting each other. I think since we are both coaches, we understand what it takes, but we also know what it feels to be supported. Both of our families are really supportive. There's some games, I think there's more people in the stands for me than some of my kids. And I think that it's just really important to feel supported. And so we try to do a really good job of bringing our boys to games and traveling with the other one when we can, and you know, seeing them at the hotel, and, you know, whether that means we go to Alabama so Tanner can see the boys for 3 hours a day at the hotel or whatever that means. Just trying to do a good job of supporting each other and making each other feel that, you know, what's happening in their life at the time is important. And then our boys love it. They live a hectic life. There's nights that we're up late, there's nights that we're up early, but they absolutely love being here, and they love the kids. You know, trying to integrate our family at home with our family here has been really fun for me. My staff does great with our kids, but our girls and Tanner's guys, they absolutely love our kids. Our kids look forward to coming here. I know my oldest can name every single guy on that baseball team, and now he's doing the the lineup when he's playing in the front yard and he's saying their names and who's up to bat. And so it's really fun. It can be hard, but it's really fun, and we really enjoy it. And so it's just a big balance, but definitely couldn't do it without our family.
I've visited with several coaches, female coaches who have kids, and they've wrestled with at different times, not all the time, but at different times, almost like a guilt. Maybe they're on the road. Maybe. Yeah. Have you wrestled with that?
For sure. I think any coaching mom or any mom that's in a profession where they're away from their kids, some has felt that at some point. But then also knowing that they're being taken care of is really just comforting to me, and knowing that they're going to travel and be there. But I think that it's good for your kids to see you do hard things. And it's good for your kids to see that other, you know, things are important to you and that you're investing in people, and that to talk to them about coaching and talk to them about, you know, my oldest one talks about like where the girls live. And I'm like, well, they live on campus. And he's like, where you work? And I tell him, yeah. And, you know, talking about with them that coaching is a lot more than just coaching a sport. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be really important, like later on in life, for them to continue to see that you can invest in people and be a big part in people's lives. And so I think it's important for your kids to see you do hard things. And so as hard as it is sometimes, I also think it's a really great, beautiful thing. And when you get home to see your kids and they greet you with the biggest hugs and kisses and they want to cuddle you because they missed you all weekend. I think, you know, a lot of things make it worth it.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. I'm going to loop back to your athletes in your program. How do you do leadership development? Do you have captains? Do you have a leadership council? Do you just work with the whole team on leadership? Yeah. What's that look like?
So we have captains just because you have to have captain in the volleyball to go up and flip a coin. But we are not huge on the captains being in charge, the captains getting to make decisions. You know, I think that everybody can be a leader. Everybody can play a role on the team, in a leadership role. And so we do it as a whole. So when we do discipleship and things like that, that's kind of when we're doing our leadership development, and just talking with them about how we can be better leaders and, how to navigate situations. It might not even be specifically talking about leadership skills, but just how do we talk through situations of accountability and all of that, and holding each other to the standard. And so we definitely do that as a whole, but we do have captains that we vote for, and they get up a coin, and you know, some communication is done through them, but for the most part it's just as a whole.
And what's like when you guys are doing discipleship, or when you're doing are you consistently talking about leadership to the team? Are you trying to what's that look like or sound like?
So yes, I do think, you know, it's talked about, you know, with discipleship, we kind of meet our team where we're at. And so there's times where we talk just about a specific word. You know, we talk about it with scripture, and then we kind of let the girls lead it from there. Our team, to be completely honest, a lot of them are really spiritually mature, especially for their age. And so it's been really cool to just watch them take it. I have a lot of natural leaders on our team. I have a lot of leaders by example on our team. And so, so what we do when we put our discipleships together is I have bullet points and that we try to get to. But at the end of the day, we kind of give them a topic and we let them have open discussion about it and kind of run with it. And then we kind of facilitate it throughout that. And so it kind of looks different every single time. You know, sometimes we talk about just like what gifts God has given you and how we can use those gifts to be and play your role or whatever that means on our team. I don't believe every single person can be like the leader, you know, just because if you have 20 leaders, we're going to have an issue. But, you know, I do think that everybody can be a leader in a sense and then play their role on the team. And so trying to find what their strengths and weaknesses are throughout discipleship is really important. And then that translates to the court.
Love it. Okay. I end with three questions. The first one is, what are you currently reading or listening to that's stimulating you, helping you grow?
Yeah, right now I'm actually reading The Energy Bus by John Gordon. I'm going to have our kids, or I want them to read it over the summer. And so I'm reading that right now. I've heard that it's great. Coach Mash actually kind of put me onto that book. She's read it. And so I'm starting to read that right now. I'm just kind of at the beginning of it. And so doing that right now. But I do want our team to do it as well, because I think it would be important for them.
Love it. Love it. Second question, what advice would you give a young female just getting into the coaching profession?
Be confident. Whether you feel confident or not, fake it till you make it. And just be confident in what you're doing, and don't ever let someone, you know, rain on your parade, and just go out there and just hold yourself to a high standard, and know that you can, and don't ever doubt, because I know whenever I started, I felt like I doubted some and what I was doing and how I was doing it. But just being confident in what you're doing, you know that in your heart you're doing the right thing, and that you want the best for your kids. And so just be confident in that.
It sounds like every step of the way you've had some people, and some people the whole journey, that you had some really key people in your corner that helped with your confidence. Like you mentioned, your athletic director, Terry at Laterno. You mentioned Lindsay Mash. It sounds like you've kind of had somebody to speak life into you and care for you and encourage you. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's important to have people in your corner, and I'm really blessed that I have. And so I definitely think that if you are a young coach, like find that mentor. If you don't feel like you have one, there is a ton of coaching things out there that you can get a part of, and you know, get those mentors, and just don't be afraid to ask questions. I think that's where you get a lot of things too, like kind of put aside your pride and ask the questions and ask the seasoned coaches. And I know when I first became a head coach, I was in people's offices all the time asking questions and how they did things, and go watch their practices, even if it's a different sport. And so, but yes, I think it's really important to have people in your corner, but I definitely have, I feel like I've had some of the best for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Who would you, who would you like to hear on this podcast? I know you listen to it occasionally when you're running. Who would you recommend, that I reach out to and get to know their story, hear how they build culture? Yeah. All things leadership.
I'd love to hear from Lindsay Mash, get to listen to her, and just, you know, obviously I feel like I know a lot of what she does and how she does it. But I think she's just a really great person to listen to and to learn from. And so I think it would be great to hear from her.
Well, Mallory, thanks for hopping on. Have been totally impressed since you took over on just your ability to lead. You have that leadership gene that it's like, man, it's hard to describe that it's hard to describe. You can feel it, but it can be hard to zero in and exactly pinpoint what it is that really good leaders do. And so it took me a while when I saw you lead and I saw your program and I saw how your girls were responding. It's like, all right, I don't know exactly what's going on, but something really good is going on. And then obviously, as I've gotten to know you, to see how you hold people accountable, but yet have a soft side of like relational and ability to relate to them. Yeah, that high challenge, high support. You just do some things really good. So I knew I had to get you on the podcast so people could hear from you. So thanks for your time this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.